Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live, presented by DraftKings right here on Giants.com. Joined by the one and only Jeff Fiegels. I am John Schmelk. Hope everyone's having a fantastic day today on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. That's your telephone number if you want to jump in and talk some Giants football with us for the next 1 hour. And, of course, the scouting combine comes your way next week. Free agency comes your way, Jeff, at about, I'd say about 3 weeks, give or take, second week of March. So things are coming fast and furious. The period in which you're allowed to put your franchise tag on people, that is open. Yeah. We've heard some teams, and we've seen the Eagles do this, a couple of their guys have signed their guys to extensions or to contracts. So they did with the two tight ends, Zach Ertz and Brent Celek. So everything's underway, and I thought it was an interesting story, and this is what me and you are going to talk about, at least to start the show, from Pete Prisco yesterday, who does a real good job covering the league for CBS Sports. Does a lot of film study. That's how he bases a lot of his stuff on. And he came out with his 50 top NFL free agent list.
Wow.
And he purposely left off some of the guys he felt likely to be franchised. And I think this is the place which is probably best to start when we analyze what could happen when we get to the free agency period, Jeff. And you take a look at some of these guys that he has on his list, and I'll maybe add one or two to that. But the guys that he has listed as the most likely to be franchised and therefore more or less unavailable in the free agent market. And you tell me if you disagree with any of these names.
Okay.
Von Miller.
Franchise.
Agreed.
Agree.
Muhammad Wilkerson.
Agree.
Franchised. Agree. Kirk Cousins.
I think that they will franchise him. I do agree.
And you know, here's the thing about Cousins. I think paying him $20 million is overpaying. But I'm willing to overpay for 1 year to make sure I have the right guy before you give him $20 million for 5 years.
I agree. And you know what? And the team can do that.
Yes.
So there you go. And the player has no other choice.
And that's fine. And you know what? People always say what a bad deal it is for the player. You're still getting $20 million guaranteed.
The only problem,
it's not bad.
Exactly. The only problem is that it's $20 million guaranteed, okay? So at a quarterback's position, if he gets hurt,
right,
then he has money that was never been able to be made again.
He at least has that $20
million. But he has at least $20
million.
Right. That's the only downside.
But he doesn't get that $40 million that maybe he would have gotten
or
in a 50
or something else.
Guaranteed contract.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, Eric Berry, do you think he'll be franchised?
I do.
I agree. Alshon Jeffrey.
You know, after the year that the Bears – had with Cutler, you know, I got to think that, boy, that's a tough one.
Young,
I,
big,
I,
tall,
I do
big
not,
playmaking wideouts don't come along very often.
I know that. I don't know the Bears roster good enough to know if there's someone else there, but there's probably not.
Well, they have Kevin White, who was their first-round pick last year in the top 10. He missed the whole year because he had really bad shin splints, a couple fractures in his lower leg. So he would theoretically be the guy that could replace him, but he's also never taken a snap in the
NFL.
You
know, I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes.
I agree. And the last player, Josh Norman, Carolina Panthers.
Yes.
You think franchised. I agree. Okay. So those are the guys we're going to take out of the mix, folks, when we talk about available free agents for the Giants in a few weeks. Now, you take a look at this list now, and I think some of the names are interesting. And I do think there's a chance that some of these other guys get re-signed before they hit the open market as well. But I'll go through some of the names, and I'll go through 1 through 20 or 15, whatever we think is significant of the guys that are available. And by the way, restricted free agents, like, for example, the Broncos linebacker Brandon Marshall, are not on this list. These are the unrestricted free agents. And again, I'm simply reading the order of which Pete Prisco had on his CBSSports.com
and also
article.
Mentioning that he doesn't think that any of these guys would be franchised either.
Correct. These are the guys he does not think will be franchised and will be available in the open market. Not saying one of their own teams might not re-sign them. They just wouldn't franchise them necessarily.
Not one punter in this I'm very disturbed at that.
I think it makes a lot of sense. Number one on the list is probably a name that Giant fans are excited about, and they're probably going to be upset that he's number one on the list, which means you're going to have to give him a big payday, and that's Olivier Vernon. Defensive end for the Miami Dolphins, 25-year-old, 29 sacks in his first 4 seasons, double digits in 2013. We heard the coaches and players talk about him when the Giants played the Dolphins this year. They had very, very positive things to say about him. Showed up on tape, very active, very violent, very aggressive.
Very young.
And very young. So, as you can well as Giant fans, in which they're quite familiar with, young, athletic, dynamic pass rushers simply do not become available very often, Jeff. So he is going to be a premium player on this free agent market. And I wouldn't be surprised, aside from the guys that got franchised who might eventually sign a long-term deal, he might get the biggest free agent contract in this year's crop.
And it just depends on any of those 10 guys that we mentioned if they don't get
right franchised. Exactly.
So I think probably any one of those number 10, 1 through 10 that we said that would, if they came off that list, they're probably going to get more money than Olivier.
Right.
But probably not. I mean, I think all those 10 guys we talked about are probably going to be franchised. But
now the Dolphins have talked about wanting to keep Vernon. That's where it gets interesting. They're also trying to renegotiate apparently a contract with their veteran pass rusher Cameron Wake. Right. Now he's coming off knee surgery, so he's a little older. He's over 30. You might be able to get him maybe a little bit cheaper because of those two factors. But you already have all that money committed to Sue. If you're going to re-sign Wake, can you commit that type of resource percentage to one position and still be able to field a complete football team?
It's tough. I mean, I know the cap goes up, but I mean, that's a lot of money to have invested in your defensive line when you think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, Wake, him, and Sue. I don't think they can keep him. I really don't. I don't think that they're going to be able to keep Vernon. And I think he's going to get a nice contract. I think the Giants, it fits him perfectly here.
4-3 defensive end.
Yep. Don't know what's going to happen with Pierre Paul. We don't, the Giants definitely are in need of a pass rusher. Don't know what's going to happen with Robert Ayers. I mean, so this is definitely something that you can look at. Yep. He's up there.
Yeah. I just want to give some height, weight, and stuff on him. He's only 25. I mentioned that. From the University of Miami. So Jeff likes that for sure.
Of course.
6'2, 261 pounds. That about summarizes what you want out of a 4-3 defensive end. That fits the height, weight category. Maybe you want to see someone a little bit taller, but that's about where you want him.
Maybe he's got that long wingspan.
Third round pick back in 2012, 72nd overall to the Miami Dolphins. So that's Olivier Vernon. He's first on the list. Now, and again, it matches up with the Giants' needs in terms of trying to, out that pass rush, get a little more pressure, and get younger on the defensive line as well. It checks all the boxes. Now, player number two on this list, another guy that, in my opinion, can be very, very effective in what the Giants are going to want to do, and that's Malik Jackson.
Yep.
Now, much like the Dolphins, who are going to have to make decisions on who they're going to want to pay, the Broncos, perhaps even more so, are going to have to make decisions on who they're going to want to pay when they get to free agency, because they're coming off a Super Bowl. They have one of the top defenses in the league, in which they're already paying some guys some serious money.
Yeah.
Aqib Talib's making a lot of money. Harris got signed to an extension. Their safety, who they signed to a free agent contract a couple off seasons ago, he's making a decent amount of money. DeMarcus Ware is making a decent amount of money.
And you're going to have to pay Von Miller eventually a lot of money.
Now, Von Miller is a free agent. Malik Jackson's a free agent. They just signed Derek Wolfe, their other defensive lineman, to an extension, so he's making okay money. Then you have their two linebackers. Brandon Marshall, a restricted free agent, but the bigger guy, and I guess we could talk about him now too, and he's listed as the 11th best free agent on Pete Prisco's list, that is Danny Trevathan, who's obviously a true three-down linebacker. And then, of course, they have to figure out their quarterback situation. Peyton's probably not going to come back, so how much are you going to have to pay Brock Osweiler? Another question. We all know the contract Demaryius Thomas was given last offseason. So they have a lot of guys making scratch on that team.
I'd be curious to see what their cap space is going into this season.
Let me see if I can find that out.
I think that what you had just mentioned, I mean, that's a lot of guys that – and really when you think – what happens typically with the Super Bowl team is there are defectors. You know, that next year the free agents, they leave because other teams want those type of players. They've got Super Bowl experience now. They're obviously were on a Super Bowl team. They're good players. They were starting. So that happens every single season. It's a lot why it's difficult for a Super Bowl team to actually to repeat or even go to the playoffs the next season because of the turnaround in personnel for those teams. So you look at a team like Denver Broncos, they're going to have a lot of decisions to make.
Well, here's the deal. Right now it looks like the Broncos are basically at the current cap. If the cap goes up, they'll gain a little money back, but they can also let go of Peyton Manning and gain $16.5 million back.
Okay, so let's just say that the cap's going to go up $10 million. I don't know this for sure, but let's just say it does.
All right, so let's say they'll have then
$25 million.
They'll have a beer in $25 million. By the way, and I didn't realize this, if they have to Now, I don't know why they'd want to do this, but DeMarcus Ware right now only has $1.5 million of dead money on his contract. So if you let him go, you could save an additional $10 million on your cap if you want.
Or re-sign him.
Restructure his deal.
Yeah, which is probably what they'll do.
Which he was not very anxious to do when he left the Cowboys. That's one of the reasons he left Dallas, because he didn't want to restructure his contract.
And they didn't want to pay him.
Right.
They may want to pay him now after seeing what him and Von Miller did in the Super Bowl.
Well, the question is, to DeMarcus Ware over 30, how much longer can he stay healthy?
Yeah, things and you like know what? That. I think that's always the question with when you have the three in front of your age. It's definitely a question. You know, another guy that I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but it's Eric Weddle is, you know, he's 30, 31. So he's going to be a top safety free agent out there. And that's another, you got to question the age, you know.
So, by the way, so we're going back to Malik Jackson. 6'5", 293. He plays defensive end in that 3-4. I got to imagine in the 4-3 he'd probably fit in as more of that 3 technique defensive tackle, you think?
Yeah, I don't think he can move in. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think he'd be a defensive end with his height and weight. So you put him in a defensive tackle, he would fit next to a guy like Jonathan Hankins, who would obviously be more of your, you know, one technique nose type of player.
And a guy that can get pressure on the quarterback from that position. You know, you don't always have to come from the defensive end positions, you know. You like to get that push and get some pressure on the quarterback up the middle in those A-gaps. So I think that Malik Jackson, I watched him in the Super Bowl, man. I like this guy. I like both of those guys. Olivier Vernon and Malik Jackson, to me, are perfect fits for a team that's like the Giants, and they can come in and make an impact right away. It's just a matter of how much money they're going to want.
Well, and that's the trick. And we've mentioned two of the top guys right now and how they do fit maybe perhaps some of the things that the Giants might be looking for. Danny Trevathan's another one. We touched on him.
You like him.
And, well, I do, because how many linebackers, and I think,
three-down guys.
When you look at a guy in the draft like Miles Jack, too, I watched a lot of his tape yesterday. He only played 3 games last year because of his torn meniscus in his knee. But he literally was playing one-on-one in the slot against wide receivers against BYU. Now, he gave him a couple catches, but it wasn't embarrassing.
No.
And if you have a linebacker that can stick with wide receivers in the slot, I mean, this guy is going to be a top coverage linebacker the day he walks into the league. And Pro Football Focus, who does some of the college grading now, he had him ranked as the top coverage linebacker in college in 2014. I mean, those guys can be so valuable these days with the way these NFL offenses run with guys crossing in the middle of the field.
And where did the Giants defense have the worst problem at all? If the middle of the field. I mean, you got to get some speed at the linebacking position to be able to cover some of these slot receivers. And there's your guy right there. So we'll see.
And those are, you mentioned Eric Weddle. He's on this list too. I'm going to go through a couple guys here. Kelechi Osemele, I think that's how you pronounce his name. The guard from the Ravens.
I'm not going to attempt that name.
I probably butchered that. He's 4th. Tremaine Johnson, the cornerback from the Rams, is 5. They have another corner, by the way, Janoris Jenkins, who's 10th on this list. So the Rams are going to have to figure out what they're going to do at corner. Those are 2 guys that can play bump and run and be coverage guys. Depending on what happens to Prince, the Giants might be in the market for a corner, so keep an eye maybe on one of those 2 guys. We mentioned Bruce Irvin. He's a guy that's played linebacker for the Seahawks. Coming out of college, he was considered more of a pass rusher, but they've really used him more as a 4-3 outside guy. He seems to me to be a guy that a 3-4 defense could really fit in as a speed rusher at their 3-4 outside linebacker spot.
I like him. I think that he's going to be – I think I see him asking for a lot of money.
Irvin, right?
Yeah.
Well, again, we're talking about all these guys in that 25 to 26 year old range, where this is the contract where they're trying
this
to really.
It. This is the This is where they get they haul away the Brinks truck. you know what I'm saying? Just to mention on this list that John and I have been going over, a couple of our own guys. Prince Amukamara is it? They have him at number 14, and they also have Jason Pierre-Paul at number 12.
Right.
So they're both those guys, breaking in the top 20. Top free agents. That's one thing we have to pay attention to is what's going to happen to those guys, because the Giants obviously have a plan for them. They've either told them or they haven't told them. Usually the way it works is they'll have interviews with these guys and they're going to kind of let them know where they stand. And we'll find out come March 9th because a lot of times or even before. Because a lot of times teams like to sign their own free agents before they go to free agency. It doesn't happen often.
Right.
But sometimes, well, I'll give you a prime example when it does. Zach Diossi, guys like that. So they do. They go out and get your own guys.
One of your few teammates that are left on this roster.
Absolutely. Yep. And so
the Jeff Fiegel special teams tree continues.
It's still there. Yeah. I always try to give a lot of advice to some of these other guys, the younger guys, mm-hmm. about free agency. I went through it plenty of times, and understanding that there's a lot of things you can take out of free agency just by experience and by looking at the history of things and how it worked. My one point to them was always been this. The grass is always not greener on the other side.
Right.
Okay. And so sometimes you have to value where you're at first and how much money that you would save by staying where you're at, because you have, you remember, you got to move, you got to find new places to stay, there's new routines. So if somebody comes with the Brinks truck at you, John, you're going to go. But if there's two teams that you're kind of weighing back and forth and there's not a whole lot of difference in the money, then you stay put. You stay put. Especially if you played in a city where you've been there for 3, 4, 5, or 6 years. I mean, you've developed in the community. You have your name means a lot in the community, and even for when you're done playing football. So all that stuff comes into effect for the guys kind of going through their first or their second contract, if you will.
Just rounding out the top 10, you mentioned Eric Weddle coming in at 7,
yep.
31 years old. Pete Prisco still thinks he can play a little bit. Obviously, he had a bit of a falling out with the Chargers at the end of the year, so my guess is that he will be available to whatever team wants him most. And, of course, you know, I want to stress this, too, to Giant fans who, you know, always say, I want this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy. And I always, you know, have to make this point again and again when we get to free agency. The Giants aren't the only team out there trying to sign free agents.
No, there's 31 other guys.
And you're competing with these other teams who might want these players just as much as you do and have, frankly, similar resources. There's a lot of teams with cap space. So, you know, even if the Giants want a guy and they make a good offer, doesn't necessarily mean they're going to get him. That's just the way the business world works when it comes to the NFL. Sean Smith at number 9, Snacks Harrison at number 8, the nose tackle for the Jets, who's a very good player. I mentioned Janoris Jenkins at 10, Trevathan at 11, JPP at 12, like Jeff mentioned, Ian Williams, nose tackle at 13, Prince at 14. Then you get some interesting names. Doug Martin, running back from Tampa at 15, Andre Smith, a right tackle. That sounds interesting. At 17 from the Cincinnati Bengals, a veteran. Marvin Jones, his teammate, a wide receiver at 18. Center Alex Mack at 19. The Giants have no need of a center. Another veteran free safety, Reggie Nelson from the Bengals, checks in at 20. Another maybe, you know, veteran short-term stopgap to try to help Landon Collins in that back end. Richie Incognito, Alex Boone, two guards. Russell Okung, the tackle from Seattle. I wonder how much money he's going to get. George Ioka from the Bengals, Mitchell Schwartz, the tackle from the Browns at 25. I know a lot of fans are interested in him, but, you know, you kind of just cut his brother, so I'm not sure if that's going to have any effect on how that goes. But business is business. We'll see. Who knows? Brock Osweiler, Lamar Miller, Matt Forte, Derek Johnson at 29, a veteran middle linebacker that did still cover well last year, even as a veteran. And, you know, then you get to the Casey Haywards at 34. Let's see, Robert Ayers at 40. Tayshawn Gibson from Cleveland, the safety at 41.
Travis Benjamin at 45.
Travis Benjamin at 45. And Greg Hardy at 49. Nick Fairley at 50. Terrence Knighton, 47. Colby Fleener at 46. And by the way, him and Dwayne Allen, the two tight ends. I know Dwayne Allen's had some injury history. I would give a look at those two guys.
Well, listen, you were last Friday when I did the show with Anita, we were talking a little bit about, you know, I would like to see the Giants go after one of these, not necessarily, well, these are the top guys. I want a tight end.
Well, you got the two guys from the Colts. You got Ladarius Green from the Chargers, you know, guys like that.
I want somebody that has experience. I want somebody that can make plays. And meanwhile, while we have, you know, Ty getting in there and doing what he's got to do to improve on what kind of a year he had last year, I just feel like Eli Manning needs a guy like one of these tight ends that we talked about last week. Just a playmaker in the passing game that way. I just saw that when he had guys like Boss and Ballard and those type of players, tall guys that he likes to get it to them. So I'd love to see some sort of a tight end in free agency or in the draft. That's my want list for this year's free agency draft.
All right, let's go to the phones at 201-939-4513. We do have some open lines, folks, so if you want to get in, you're not going to have to hold on. We'll get you right up on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. Don't forget, it's brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Remember, football season's over, but you got all the other sports, so check it out. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Hashtag Giants Chat. I already see some very good questions on there. So I'll try to get to those as well as we move along in our program. James in New York. He's been holding the longest. James, you're up first on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. How are you, buddy?
Hey, James.
Hey, John. Hey, Jeff. I was just calling because I guess, first off, I want Alshon Jeffrey. I know you said that there's a good chance he might get franchised, but I think he's in the same kind of situation as Prince where – he's been injured often, and I think the Bears won't franchise him. So, that's the guy I think we should target.
How much money do you want to spend on Alshon Jeffrey?
I mean, I figure he's just a notch under, Demarius and Dez. So I'm thinking, $10 million, and
for
he would be the
two.
Highest. I mean, he'd be the only offensive player that's really, aside from Eli, that's making a lot of money.
Well, let me put it this way. If Demarius and Dez check in, I think they checked in around, 85? And like 25, 30 million guaranteed. If they're a notch below, you're not looking at 5 years 50. You're looking at 5 years 65.
For a number two, not a number one.
I mean, I feel like he would be, Beckham and Alshon would be 1A and 1B. I mean, I feel like the offense would pretty much be, it got to be top five, and the defense. Yeah, I mean, it's going to – I feel like the way things are going, we might get a lot of C-level players, which I don't want.
Why do you say that?
I mean, the list you went, all the guys that are going to get franchised that you named are like Muhammad Wilkerson, all the top defensive players. They look like they're going to get franchised.
I listen to a bunch of guys that aren't, though. I mean, Malik Jackson's an excellent player. Olivier Vernon's an excellent player. Danny Trevathan's an excellent player. Bruce Irvin's a good player. Eric Weddle's a good player. I mean, there's a lot of guys out there that are going to be unrestricted that can play on the defensive side of the ball. Now, if you're telling me that I can't get any of those five or six guys that you listed and you're sitting there with all this money and no one to spend it on, you can get a great player like Alshon Jeffrey. Maybe we can have a different conversation. But and I'd like to get Jeff's opinion on this too. I think your first focus has to be on defense, doesn't it?
I think you go to the defensive side right away. I think you got to try to find that defensive end in that, that 4-3 guy that you need some. We got to get some pass rush. We got to have an impact player. What JPP brought to this defense a few years back is what this defense needs again. I really think they got to get some pressure on the quarterback. So that, in my mind, that's where you go. I believe on the receiving side of it, I agree that the Giants should address the receiving position because you don't know what the health of Victor Cruz and Reuben Randall and all that kind of stuff. But I don't see them spending that type of money because remember this, just a few years from now, guess who's getting paid? So I think that you're going to need to spend maybe $4 or $5 million on a number two guy, if you will. That's kind of where I would be in the range to do something like that. That's just me.
Okay. All right. And I guess one other thing I was just thinking about is when the draft comes, I mean, the top players that, it looks like the Giants would go for, Miles Jack and Jalen Smith, I mean, they're both coming off an injury. I mean, with the Giants' history, does that even make sense to go that route?
Well, I think that a lot of people are trying to see, what Gurley did last year with that ACL and how he came back and played. I think that that's kind of like, you look at it and say that. But I do know this, that for being in the NFL as long as I was, is that every person is different. Everybody heals differently. So I think it is imperative that type of investigation is done on some of those players, and that's what's going to happen between now and April. When is it in April this year?
What, the draft? The draft is the last weekend of April.
Okay, yeah. So I think that's what's going to happen, and you really have to be careful with that too.
Back to Chicago.
Yeah.
Thank you, James. You got anything else for us?
All right, guys. Thanks.
Appreciate it, man.
I'm good. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, James.
A couple questions on this from our folks on Twitter I want to get to, and I'm going to get your comment on this too, Jeff. This one from @Gruen Ben. Ben Gruen, our good, loyal listener. Do you think Alshon Jeffrey would want to play second fiddle to Odell Beckham Jr.? Wouldn't he want to be the guy somewhere else. Do you think that would matter to him or not?
I'm sure he's already played second fiddle when Brandon Marshall was there. So,
right.
I mean,
he was the guy last year.
He was the guy last year, and I think that that's a good question. But I think that just like anything, guys, if I pay you enough money that you want, it doesn't matter if you're one or two. If you get what you want financially and you go to a team that you want to play, you know, he may want just a complete – if they don't franchise him, he may just want a completely different situation. You know, get out of Chicago, start over, I don't know. That's a great question. That's a really good question. Something to think about. And you might be right. He may want to say, hey, I'm not a number two. I want number one money, you know, and you're not going to get it here.
I'm sure that's what he's going to look for.
Yeah,
especially
absolutely.
If there's a consideration the Bears might franchise him. And he mentioned about his injury history. Just want to tell you how many games he's played.
Wonder what a wide receiver franchise
I think it's around 15.
Is it 15?
I think it's somewhere in that area. You know, somewhere between 13 and 15, somewhere in that range. I have to check it. I'm not positive. In 2012, his rookie season, he played in 10 games. He played in 16 in 2013. He played in 16 in 2014. Then last year, he played in 9 games. And in 9 games, had 54 catches for 807 yards and 4 touchdowns. That's pretty good.
So 41 games in, what'd you say, 4 years?
Yeah, and if you go to the last 3 years, because I don't know, that rookie year, I'm not sure if it was DNP because maybe he wasn't ready,
right.
Or if it was injury, I'm not sure. So if you want to go last 3 years to be safe, he played in 41 of 48 games.
All I know is that every week I picked him in DraftKings, he didn't do anything for me.
That's because he kept picking when he was injured. That was your fault, Jeff.
No, not when he was injured. When he was healthy and went out and played and did nothing, that's what happened. Ridiculous.
All right, staying on the wide receivers very quickly, A.J. Marshall asks on Twitter, the Giants need a wide receiver to be the, you know, quote-unquote backup to Cruz and be the second guy to Odell Beckham Jr. or third, depending on Cruz's health. Who do you like better, Mohamed Sanu?
Yes.
Or Jermaine Kearse from Seattle? He of the batted pass in the Super Bowl.
I like Sanu. I think he's more physical. I think he's more athletic. And I think that he wants to play here. He's a
Jersey guy
from Rutgers. I know, reading an article about him, he's a Giants fan. So, hey, and I think that, you know, when he was, when A.J. Green was out of the lineup there and he was the number one guy, he was putting up some good numbers. And I think that he would be a great compliment. I really do. And you know what? He's so athletic. He can throw the ball just like Beckham. I mean, that would be a pretty good, nice little tandem to have out there. I like him.
201-939-4513. Len in Columbia, Maryland's up next. Len, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Len.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Doing great.
Good, good. I know it's a little, you know, fruitless to talk about who the Giants should pick at, you know, number 10 before free agency. But let me start out by saying I think there's going to be a heck of a good football player there at 10.
Oh, but of course there are. Len, every year when you pick as high as 10, there's going to be a heck of a good football player. It's just the way it goes.
Now, yesterday, you, John, you had a nice conversation with Lance regarding who you thought would be gone.
Yeah.
I want to expand on that list.
Okay.
If you give me a couple of seconds.
Yeah, sure.
First of all, I think one of the quarterbacks is going to be gone.
I agree with that.
Probably Goff.
And
probably,
you know what? There's a chance that both could be, but I think Goff or Wentz, one of the two will be gone.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, I think one of the quarterbacks will be gone.
I think they'll both be
I think the wide receiver from Mississippi will be gone.
Okay, so you think Treadwell will be gone in the top 10? I think there's a decent chance.
He's gone in the first.
By the way, I'm not sure if you heard the spot yesterday. I just want to tell Jeff about this, and I'll let you continue. We had the USA Today draft guy, John Ledger, on yesterday. And
yes,
I asked him
good.
Where he ranked Treadwell, who's the consensus top wide receiver this year, if you put him in last year's draft.
Oh,
with
good
Amari
question.
Cooper, with Devontae Parker, and I'm forgetting the third guy, Kevin White. If you put him with that group, where do you have him ranked? He said he has him
number
ranked
one.
Ahead of all three of those guys.
What?
That
yeah.
was great.
How about that?
Yeah. And also, you know, a lot of people have said the tackle from Mississippi, Tunsil.
Tunsil. He's going to be gone. Absolutely.
He's going to be gone.
Yep.
Now, you know, an interesting thing on Tunsil. If he goes to Tennessee at number one, who do they move out of that left tackle spot to let him play there? Taylor Lewan. Remember how highly ranked Taylor Lewan was
when he
came out in the draft?
And Taylor Lewan has struggled there, and some people think he's a better right tackle.
From left tackle to right tackle, I think this is one of the problems we had with the Beatty and Flowers conversation about going to right tackle. It's not a demotion. I mean, it's a position on the offensive line.
Yeah, you're right.
You're one of the five best players. I mean, Tennessee is probably going to move Taylor Lewan to right tackle and let Tunsil play left tackle.
Well, remember, I'm not sure if they're going to have Tunsil at left tackle in year one now, too. They might want to work him in and give Lewan one more year. Either way, though, Len, you're right. If you pick a tackle number one overall in the draft, which a lot of people think the Titans are going to do, it's certainly in the cards where you're picking him in preparation for him to be your left tackle at some point. And you're right, they picked Lewan in the first round a couple years ago, and if he was doing a good enough job at left tackle, they probably wouldn't be doing that. I don't disagree with you at all.
All right, now I'm going to get to eight guys here, so I'll go quickly.
Okay.
I think the tackle from Notre Dame is going to go in the top eight, Stanley.
Okay, Ronnie Stanley, right, if I'm not mistaken.
I think Bosa is going to be gone.
Right.
I'm not doing this in order now,
that's
by the
fine.
Way. These are just eight guys I think are going to be gone.
Jalen Ramsey is going to be gone.
I think Buckner will be gone.
Okay.
I think one of the linebackers, probably Jax. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. Yesterday, you know, the draft guy that you had on, who was very good, by the way, I really enjoyed that conversation, applied a word to Jax that we're beginning to see and hear more and more. It's become a very popular word, and I love the word, John, the word violent. He referred to Jax as being violent. In fact, he said what separates him from Jalen Smith is that Jax is violent.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, and Miles Jack is somebody that I watched some tape of yesterday, and the one thing he will do, he will get that low pad level, he'll go right up the offensive lineman in that run game, and he'll pop him. And he'll pop him, and he'll do it with some fierceness. Now, he's not the biggest guy, and he's not always the first guy to the football when he's, you know, playing against the run, but he is very physical, and he does not mind contact, which I think you have to like.
Especially at that position,
yes.
John.
I agree.
Okay, now that's my eight that are going to be gone, leaving a heck of one of the quarterbacks. We're not going to pick a quarterback.
Right.
You know, one of the quarterbacks, the running back, I'm still leaning toward Elliott, by the way. The wide receiver from Baylor, Coleman, the other linebacker, Jalen Smith.
Yep.
Two corners, and we haven't even gotten to the defensive linemen, Lawson, Rankin, Spence,
yep.
Robinson from Alabama. There's going to be a heck of a football player there. But you know what? Free agency and, you know, Jeff, I'd like your comment on it.
Well, let me ask you. Can I ask you a quick question?
Go ahead.
We're right around the corner. Here comes number 10. And you've got Noah Spence, okay, who on one of these mock drafts have him. You have Noah Spence and Laquon Treadwell is still there. Who are you taking?
If Treadwell is still there?
Mm-hmm.
The wide receiver?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm taking Treadwell.
You are?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm taking Treadwell.
Okay.
Len likes his stars, Jeff.
Oh,
never forget that. Definitely. Len is always going to go for the star.
I thought you were going to say, you know, would you take him over Miles Jax? Would you take him over?
No. Because the only reason I was asking that is because I wanted to see it. It's like so many people are leaning towards drafting a defensive player. But I just wanted to see if you're going to go away from that and you know, the best. At number 10, I think there's going to be a lot of questions is for how many guys are at that position at number 10 still left, who is the best on the board?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And, Len, you know what? I think the combine for Treadwell is actually going to be pretty important. I think how he runs that 40, because he's a really big guy, and I think you want to see how much speed he has at the combine. So I think I've seen people have Treadwell as high as 5 or 6. I've seen people have him in the late teens. So I still think there's a lot of diverging opinions on Treadwell. I think the combine will do a little bit to help come up with more of a consistent opinion on him across the board to see where he's going to go in this draft.
Well, I think he's probably going to excel at the combine. And let me throw out a name here. I threw this out 3 weeks ago to you guys, and Paul kept saying, oh, you can't do that. Oh, no, you can't draft that position. When this combine is over, when you get back, John, we're all going to be talking about Ezekiel Elliott from Ohio State.
No, he's good.
Hey, man, look what he was doing in those
scout
games.
I'm not saying we should pick him, but he's one of the guys I think is going to be there.
Hey, look.
I think he's going to be there.
Hey, look, Len, you heard me yesterday, and my opinion might change based on what Treadwell does at the combine. My prediction yesterday was that I think Ezekiel Elliott might get picked before any wide receiver in this year's draft. I think there's a good chance of that. I think there's a real good chance of that happening.
Well, Elliott, you know, I think over a 5-year period of time, 6-year period of time, I think the guy who is going to give you immediate production, the one guy in this draft who's going to give you immediate production, eye-opening production, and it's going to carry on for 4 or 5 years, is going to be Ezekiel Elliott.
I think that's a good chance of that.
I think that's the guy you're going to get immediate. Listen, you know, the draft, the free agency, it's great. You know, I love it. We're going to, you know, we're going to restock our team and so forth. But, hey, let's face it. If some of those draft picks, if Hankins doesn't come back, if Bromley doesn't move forward, if Kennard doesn't get better, if we don't get something out of Double O, if Collins doesn't improve, if those two, if the two safeties, the fifth-round pick Thompson from last year, Burray, those guys got to come through for us really to take the jump, guys. I, you know, we're going to get good players in free agency. Jerry's going to spend the money. We're going to get draft. We're going to get a number one draft pick who's going to be a star for a while. But hey, let's face it, we got 10 or 12 guys just on the, you know, not on the defensive side of the ball, but I just mentioned eight guys on the defensive side of the ball. They all have to improve, or this team's not going past 6-10.
Len, we appreciate the call, my friend. Good stuff as always.
And that's what, you know, when you draft your second and third year, you got to expect production out of those guys.
Hey, look, Jeff.
They start moving up in the depth charts, and you got to, this, you're right. And Len's absolutely 100% correct. You have to have production out of those guys going forward. And they had, you know, they had some chances this year with all the injuries and how these guys got to play a little bit more. They're accelerated. They need to step up and prove that they can play. And I think that it's important because he's right. The Giants are going to get a top 10 draft pick that's going to immediately have an impact. And the other thing is they got a lot of money in free agency. So, and we know what can happen with teams in this league, John. They get turned around very quickly. It's just a matter
especially when you have a quarterback on your roster that can play.
And you know
that's
what? There's
the
a
key.
Lot of teams that are out there going, man, we got a good team, but we don't have a quarterback.
Right.
What do we have?
Mm-hmm.
You're right. They got a franchise quarterback here, boy.
Hey, look, and I'll say this, and I say this every offseason, and I think I answered this to a fact or fiction question on one of my videos with Paul Dottino a couple weeks ago. When the question was asked, what will help the Giants more next season, their draft pick or what they do in free agency? And my answer was neither. I said what's going to help the Giants most next year is the guys already on their roster that are young taking another step and becoming really good players. Whether you're talking about Jonathan Hankins coming back from the injury, Justin Pugh second year at guard, Richburg second year at center, Flowers second year at tackle, Collins second year at safety, Devon Kennard playing linebacker for the third year now. It's those types of guys taking that next step in their development to, like you said, be those types of players in their third, fourth, and fifth year. And I'm trying to bring it up here. My computer is going extremely slow. But if you take a look at the Broncos last year on defense, I mean, look at the guys that are impact players. Malik Jackson was a fifth-round pick. Here we go. I got it right here.
Well,
finally came up. Malik Jackson, fifth-round pick. Danny Trevathan. Let me bring him up. Danny Trevathan was a sixth-round pick. I mean, you got these guys that were drafted in the middle rounds, and Brandon Marshall wasn't a high pick. Derek Wolfe was a two or a three. You know, they weren't all first-rounders. Von Miller was.
Yeah.
And that's great. But look at all the guys around him. Harris, another guy that wasn't a first-round pick. And they grew in their third, fourth, and fifth years into those type of great players. So I think if you're looking for breakthroughs, as much as you get excited about new names and stuff like that, you know, that's great. But
you got to have development.
You got to develop.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you're going to start to see. And the Giants have been very happy with some of their draft classes the last two or three years. And if you see those guys continue to develop and take that next step, that's where I think a lot of this production is going to come from.
And health is a big issue there, too. You get some development out of your draft picks. You get some production out of some free agents. Will tie. Okay? And you get some production out of your high-priced free agents and good draft picks. And then a little bit of luck in the health department. And I think that you can put yourself together a nice team. Common denominator here, and you said it, John, is you have a quarterback. If you have a quarterback, you have a chance, really. And you look at the teams that don't, they don't have a chance.
Remember, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick up your contest, pick up your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. It's as simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. A couple more Twitter questions for you, Jeff, at WeHighClick. This is his little plan here. Let me get your comment on it. Sign and trade for Mo Wilkerson. Sign Tayshaun Gibson. Bring back Ayers. Sign Janoris Jenkins. Now, we talked about some of those guys. All we talked about in terms of Mo Wilkerson was that he'd likely be franchised by the Jets. And here's the thing. If you think, and if Jeff,
where you're going.
Tell
no
me
way.
If I'm wrong, please
There's
tell
no
me.
Way. There's no way.
If you think that Woody Johnson's going to sit there and trade his best defensive player who put the franchise tag on to the Giants, you are out of your damn mind.
Only if it came with two first-round draft picks, maybe. But the Giants aren't giving up two first-round draft
right.
picks. No way. That unfortunately, just check that off the list. It's not going to happen. He's not going anywhere. They do have some other guys that are making some money on that defensive line over there at the Jets. But you got to find a spot for this guy
on their rookie contracts, though. Richardson and Williams,
yeah,
I believe, are still on the rookie contracts.
And I mean, maybe next year they're going to have to pay him eventually. Maybe.
Sheldon Richardson's coming up real quick.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So.
And Max Harrison, their nose tackle's a free agent too, so they're going to have to figure that out.
But yeah, no way.
And Fitzpatrick's a free agent too. They got to figure out that quarterback spot too. And so is their running back, Chris Ivory, by the way.
Yeah. Once again, Giants have a quarterback. We don't have to worry about that one.
Nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
What do you think about Mercedes Lewis, the tight end for Jacksonville?
You know what? I liked him. I like any veteran tight end that's going to give you some production and it can block. He's a big dude. He's a big dude. I think that I think he had a good year last year. So yeah. I'll tell you what I would really like is for Larry Donnell to get healthy and prove that he can be, good and block and because you can't ask for a more qualified, if you will, what a tight end should look like, John. He's 6'5" or 6" and huge and pretty good athleticism. Just, he just makes some bonehead mistakes sometimes. Always likes to jump over guys and fumble with footballs. But that can all be fixed. It can all be fixed. So hopefully he can get back in there and compete for that starting job because I think Will Tye earned the starting tight end position for what he did last year.
And by the way, the Bears also have $58 million of cap space. So if they want to sign Alshon Jeffrey, they can. That's just up to them whether or not they think it's worth it. Couple other tweet questions from you. And by the way, I should mention this too. We mentioned both Malik Jackson and Danny Trevathan. John Elway has said that it is a priority to get both those guys back. Now, that's nice. Can you figure it out under the cap? That's the second question. So we'll define that about that. Let's see what else do I got here. Went through those.
And, there's a lot of people that are asking themselves or having this discussion is that, where, with all this money, where does it all go? I mean, you obviously, you're going to have to give some, it's a lot of money, but if you're going to go pay for a guy like Olivia Vernon, you're going to dump a lot of that cash into his
Absolutely.
Pocket.
Absolutely. Here we go. At Spain_man_1991, a second wide receiver to me has to be ready to step in and step up if something happens to Odell Beckham Jr., like it did against the Vikings. A good example, he says, is Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson with the Washington Redskins. You think that's a good copy?
Absolutely. And who fits that is, like I just said, Sanu. I mean, he stepped in for A.J. Green when he got hurt and had significant production at that. And so, there you go. Like, he could definitely a guy like Alshon Jeffries, which one of our callers brought up, a great point. It was a Twitter question. I can't remember. But, yeah, does he want to be a number one? Does he want to be a number two, Alshon Jeffries? But I don't know. I think really the Victor Cruz – health situation is going to determine, and you really can't do anything because the free agency period starts before you can get back on the field and see anything with Victor.
I got a good one here.
Yeah.
So the same guy that wanted to sign and trade for Mo Wilkerson.
Oh, sure.
He also wants to trade up to get Jalen Ramsey. So he wants to trade next year's one, he said, to get Wilkerson, which he said will be the 32nd pick in the draft because they'll win the Super Bowl. And then they want to trade up this year to get Jalen Ramsey. So that means you won't have a second rounder this year or a first rounder next year. That doesn't seem like a great idea to me. Hello?
I don't see the Giants going there.
All right, let's see.
I mean, the Giants gave up a 7th round draft pick last year to move up to get Landon Collins. I think that's about, those are the types of giving up draft picks because they don't have a 7th rounder this year.
Yep. A.J. Marshall, do you think there's a chance Jalen Smith might be there at 10 if the Cowboys draft Carson Wentz and the Dolphins draft Miles Jack? I don't think it really matters at what specific teams do. I think what's going to keep Jalen Smith down is that knee injury. You got a guy coming off a torn ACL in December, Jeff.
Yeah.
Even if he has an excellent recovery. You know, 9 months, right? That's pretty much the quickest an ACL can heal, give or take, right? I mean, you've had knee problems.
Well, I keep going back to Todd Gurley. Just look at what happened to him. But Jalen Smith got hurt a little bit later than
So you're looking at October, right?
Yeah.
At the earliest, you think.
Yeah, that's a tough one because I think that
he's a hell of a player.
And you know what? That's going to be something that they're going to need to have the doctors look at. They're going to see their MRIs. They're going to see these guys see knees every day. They're going to know that some guys respond quicker than others. Some guys come back from injury like it never happened, you know. But look at Todd Gurley. Ken's back. He's rookie of the year. So it can happen. But it's a lot of risk at a number eight, you know, top 10 pick there.
This question from our guy Ollie, and I want to give this to you, Jeff. Maybe you can put this into layman's terms so we can understand. I know you're a part of, like, the Players Association and things
like
that.
Okay, let me follow this one. Okay, go ahead.
Can you guys explain how free agency works with guaranteed money against the cap or the franchise tag against the cap? Well, I can handle the franchise tag part. Basically, a franchise tag is a one-year amount. So whatever the franchise tag amount is for Ollie, that will go on the cap for this season, and that's it. That's simple.
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed money is a little bit trickier. Jeff, why don't you try to take a swing at that one for me?
For on the free agent side?
Yes, on the free agency side. Like, let's say you sign a contract, five-year, $80 million contract with $35 million guaranteed. How does that work?
Well, the guaranteed money, most of it is up front, okay? And they may guarantee a portion of your contract in the first year or even the second year,
okay?
No matter what, if you were to get cut or you were to get hurt, now there's different ways that they structure contracts. Sometimes contracts are split contracts where they say if you are hurt and you get cut, you only get half of your salary. It just depends on what type of a contract it is. But most of the time, the guaranteed portion of the money, that is yours. You're going to get it in a signing bonus. You're going to get it in a workout bonus. You're going to get it in something. But it's going to be paid out to you no matter what. It's just it's up to the team how they pay it out.
And now that signing bonus now, let's say you have a $20 million signing bonus over a four-year contract, theoretically.
Okay.
Now, you'll get that $20 million check up front, right, if you're a player. Is that correct? Will you get a check when you get it?
You are going to get $20 million, but it may be spread out.
Okay, but as a team, in terms of the cap,
five,
that will get spread out evenly over the course of the contract,
it would
correct?
Be five for those 4 years.
And that's when they restructure contracts. They might move some of that guaranteed money back, and that's when you get a lot of dead money on these deals.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
Hopefully, Ollie, that explains some of your questions.
And what can happen, too, sometimes is guys will say, okay, you know what? I will take half of my signing bonus in year one and half of it in year two. It's all about the team and how you want to structure it. Bottom line is that it doesn't matter when you get it, it counts against the cap and in increments of however many years it's spread out.
Do we still have Patrick on line three, Dave? Is he still there or is he gone? All right, let's go to Patrick on line three.
Patrick,
welcome. Thanks for holding, pal.
No problem. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well.
Do you have something important to bring to this great conversation we're having today?
Yeah, I believe so. I know that the most teams build through the draft. That's consensus. That's how teams are supposed to build championships. But you can make the argument this year, especially with the middle round picks that we've kind of not see pan out for our team, that free agency is a little bit more important this year with the amount of holes that we have to fill on the defensive end. And you can make an argument where you go, where you concentrate on defensive line as a top priority or a middle linebacker or safety. But I wanted to hear your guys' opinions because I think that the Giants historically have tried to hit on mid-tier guys, you know, quantity over quality sometimes. Mm-hmm. But this time I think that we need to hit on a couple of game changers on defense and then try to use the draft to be able to fill in the rest.
Well, Patrick, remember this, though. They did try to hit a home run last year. They tried to throw a lot of money up front at Devin McCourty. They tried to bring him in here for a big contract, and he decided to stay in New England. And like I tried to explain earlier in the show, that's going to happen sometimes. You might try to hit that home run, try to get that big-time player, but it might not work out. It happens. It's not the team's fault. That's just the way the free agent market goes. So they tried to do it last year. With all the money this year, I would expect they're going to try to do it again if the right player is there and available. And with so many options, I go to imagine someone out there is going to fit that mold that the team's looking for. Who? I don't know.
Well, I kind of agree with you here as far as, you know, there's the way that the salary cap works, you know, not every year you have $60 million or something to spend. So I think that this is one of the years where the Giants have the type of money they need to spend on free agents. But I think it's important that we don't just get crazy, and I say we, the Giants just don't get crazy with all that money and start handing it out. They got to get guys that are going to be impactual, that are going to make an impact on the defense or wherever they're going to go. And I like the progression that you did. I think it's spot on. Defensive line, linebacker, safety. I think that if you got one of those in free agency, one before the next, as long as they're good quality players, they're healthy, and that they can bring some leadership to this defense, which I think is missing, I'm all for it.
I don't think that you spend money just for the sake of spending money. I'm not saying that you go that route. I'm saying that you target a couple of guys that you think are going to be impact players, and I believe that they're probably going to do this, but I think that you can make the argument that free agency might even be a little bit more important than the draft, because the draft, even more so within the last couple of years, has been a roll of the dice. You don't know how many your draft picks are going to pan out. You want a known commodity to be able to step in and make an impact right away.
Well, I think that, you know, we're counting on a lot of these Giants draft picks in the last year to step up and have another good year this year, or not in a good year, but improve. We just talked about that. Those guys definitely need to improve. There's some guys on this roster right now that I think the jury's still out if they're going to be able to come in and fill spots for this defense. I really do. We'll see. I think
two of those guys would be Nate Burhey, who I just saw got interviewed yesterday. He was supposed to step in and get a starting role. Injuries kind of prevented that. And Oa, who everybody's counting on to maybe be the next big pass-rushing defensive end, and seeing what he brings to the table.
Remember, this is going to be Oa's really first year playing this year, too. So I wouldn't expect the guy to come out of the gates and get 15 sacks for you. There is going to be some amount of growth there, Jeff. Even though he was here for a year, he didn't play. So, you know, next year's almost kind of like his rookie year, right, considering he hasn't actually gotten on the field against opposing competition?
But I think, yes, and I think that everybody wants to see this guy play.
Of course. A lot of talent.
Mekeil Thompson's another guy that was a draft pick last year that got hurt in training camp. I mean, so I think that these are kind of guys that we're talking about coming into OTAs, coming into training camp, and making an impact and being able to do what they've wanted them to do, improve with their draft picks, improve their development throughout, and fill in some of these gaps with some leadership and good players on defense.
Thanks for the call, Patrick.
Free agency.
Appreciate it, my friend.
And again, remember,
Owen in college wasn't a dynamic pass rush guy. He was better against the run, too. So keep that in mind. Look, you need guys that can do well against the run. I'm just saying, don't go out there expecting the kid to come out and get 12, 15 sacks in his first year playing in the NFL.
Another thing, too, that I wanted, we always have to, and I think this was a question maybe a couple weeks ago, is that, you know, when you draft or go to free agency, are you drafting or picking these free agency that fit the scheme of your defense or your offense?
Right.
So a lot of times, maybe some of these guys in the draft or in free agency, they've got to be able to say, okay, you know what, they're going to fit our scheme, a Spagnuolo scheme or the offensive scheme that they're running, because sometimes they may not, you know. And even if maybe the guy did play, he was a 3-4 in college, but now he's coming to a 4-3. Can they convert him into something like that? That's the challenge.
All right, Christian in New York, you're going to wrap us up today. Christian, what's going on, buddy?
Hi, Christian.
Hey, guys. I've been hearing quite a bit of talk lately about what if Laquon Treadwell drops to us in the draft.
Okay.
But I honestly don't even want to see that happen, because that means a good defensive player has already most likely gone off the board instead.
When
you have someone as good as Odell, I really don't think you need another first-round wide receiver. I mean, we just need way too much help on the defense right now to think about that.
And the reason I asked that question earlier, because I think that some people do not believe in the philosophy of take the best available. That was my situation that I put with Len. I just wanted to know, if the best available is a wide receiver, are you taking him? And he wanted him. So, it's just a matter of each team is different. And I don't know how the fan base would react to when the Giants need help on defense, if one of the quality receivers in the draft is sitting there that you took them. I don't know. It's a tough situation, a tough question.
It just seems like Odell is so good that you need to find him like a couple of basically sidekicks and not so much try to get someone on his level. I mean, it just seems like we just need way too much help in other areas, and I'm hoping for any of those top 10 defensive guys when the draft comes.
Hey, look, Christian, you know how it works every year. I get into this with people every offseason. You know, people get obsessed with the wide receiver. They get obsessed with the flashy guy. They get obsessed with the stars. You know, they see guys running 40s. They see the highlights on YouTube. You know, it's a lot of fun sitting there and watching Laquon Treadwell highlights on YouTube. He's making great catches. He's doing fantastic things. You know what's not that exciting? Watching a right tackle on YouTube. Watching a defensive tackle on YouTube. It's not fun, you know, watching the wide receiver and imagining him doing crazy things on Sunday, that's fun.
Yeah.
You know, if you're sitting there thinking about Eshawn Robinson from Alabama, you know, stuffing the run and taking up two offensive linemen on a run play, that's not exciting.
Coaches get excited about it. They do.
And it's essential to win football games, yeah. But it's not exciting for fans. So
yeah.
I think that's why you get the people getting obsessed with, oh, we need a playmaker. Well, you know what happens when you try to draft playmakers every time? That's when you get to the point where you have to draft offensive linemen.
You
in the
better
first
have
round,
somebody to protect them so they can make a
exactly.
play.
Exactly.
Yeah, or have a quarterback that can throw it to them.
As Tom Coughlin always liked to say, this is a big man's league.
Yeah,
you
no
want
question.
Guys on offensive line and defensive line that can beat you up and win up front. And once you can do that, that's when you can worry about the rest of it.
And I do agree that in this game today, I know it's all about passing and everything like this, but it starts up front. It really does, because if you've got defensive tackles that can rush the passer and you've got offensive linemen that can block and run, there you go. You can build your team around those two aspects of it any day you want. If you've got offensive linemen that can run, block, and protect, you can throw the football and run the football. If you've got guys that can get after the passer, you can stop the run. But it all starts, in my mind, in that interior right up front and physical big dudes. It's a big man's game. It really is. And it's a fast game. Man, is it a fast game. These guys running 4.8, 4.9s at 300 pounds. Give me a break.
And by the way, the franchise tag for the wide receiver this year is 14.5.
Okay, you were right on. Yeah, right at 15. Listen, if I'm Alshon Jeffrey and you're going to guarantee me $15 million, I'll take it.
Thank you, Christian.
Hey, Christian, thank you. Hopefully we answered your question, and thanks for joining us.
Great job on the phones today. I'm happy I got to those Twitter questions. I've been promising
like
for a couple weeks,
yeah,
and I finally got to them. Good job
really
on
good
Twitter,
ones.
Everybody. I'll try to stick with those more as we move forward here. Next week, we'll have Lance, Jeff, and Dottino rotating Monday and Tuesday. I'm off to the Combine Tuesday night. I'll be there with Anita Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I already have around 9 or 10 guests lined up for those 3 days, so it's going to be jam-packed. We'll probably do 4 or 5 or maybe even 6 guests per show. Each show will be 2 hours long, 12 to 2, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, live from the Combine in Indianapolis on Radio Row. So it should be a lot of fun. Make sure you tune in. The boys will take care of business back here in the studio Monday and Tuesday. Everyone have a fantastic weekend. Jeff, have a good one.
You too. Have fun, John.
Good seeing you, and we'll see you next week right here on Giants.com. Everybody, take it easy.